Morning. Today's scripture is Mark 4, 35 through 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Now, might as well just get this out of the way right here. The bulletin says one thing, but I hope all of you know I'm not Pastor Mary Beth. Not even going to attempt to fill her shoes. And please keep our pastor in prayer. She is homesick, and just prayers of healing for our pastor. So that is why you have me before you this morning. But I didn't change the title of her message, which is, "Why Are You Afraid?" Now, for those of you who don't know, in my job, one of the things that I'm responsible for is I'm the emergency and disaster response coordinator for the entire Congressional 4th District. And in that role, I have to maintain constant communication with FEMA, which is the Federal Emergency Management Agency, which oversees all kind of disaster relief for the United States. And just so happens that this month, the focus is severe weather, flood, and tsunami safety. So it falls right in line with our scripture this morning. So I guess you consider this a spiritual public safety announcement this morning. So now let's take a look at the scripture. So it's been a long and difficult day for the Lord Jesus. The events of the day began in Mark 3:20 when he had the confrontation with the Pharisees. And then at the end of the day, he used the boat as his pulpit and he preached to the great multitudes that gathered to hear him. When his long day was over, he called the disciples and told them to set sail for the other side of the Sea of Galilee. So when darkness fell, the disciples were making their way across the lake while the boat that they guided, Jesus lay fast asleep in the stern of the boat. Now, I love this part of the scripture because I can just picture Jesus, you know, with a pillow and just kind of in the back of it. I mean, it just shows his humanness. He had a long day. I mean, we've all been in that position. You had a long day, things just going, and then you get that moment and you just want to crash. You just want to crash. So that's what Jesus was doing. Now, that night in the storm the disciples found themselves in, they found themselves in a fight for their lives. They experienced the Lord's power delivered to them, and they lived to tell this tale. Now, what I would like to do, I want us to climb in that boat with them right now. I want us to climb in that boat with them as they're crossing the Sea of the Galilee and experience what that might teach us today. There are characteristics of this storm that I want to highlight. First is its suddenness. The scripture says there arose a great storm of wind. It's like it came out of nowhere. Kind of sounds like life, doesn't it? Kind of sounds like life. See, things can be fine one moment, and then the next moment you find yourself spiraling down a dark abyss. One minute, you can be enjoying fair weather. The next minute, you find yourself in the middle of a terrible storm. Kathleen and I traveled across country last summer to see our grandchild for the first time. And Kathleen was in her car, and I was on my motorcycle, and we were traveling cross country to Oklahoma. And the skies were wonderful. Things were perfect. And we were riding, and she was in her car, and I was on the motorcycle. And out of nowhere, all of a sudden, torrential downpour. I'm on my motorcycle. Kathleen's in the car. I don't have my rain gear on. Just out of nowhere it comes. That's how life is. Storms can come out of nowhere. One phone call, one 24-hour period of time, one doctor visit, one tick of the clock, one 140-character text or tweet can change your life from the calm to the storm. But that shouldn't surprise us because, see, the Bible tells us that storms will come our way. John 16:33 tells us that, I have said this to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you face persecution, but take courage, for I have conquered the world. So, I can't state with any certainty which of these places that you're in right now, but I can say for certain that all of us are in one of these places. We are either in a storm, we either just come out of a storm, or we're getting ready to enter a storm. Okay? Because that's what life is in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world, and we are going to have storms in our life. Next is the severity. The severity of the storm. The scripture says that the ship was now full. I mean, it wasn't just like a nice, gentle rain. It was a storm. The ship was filling up with water as the storm came upon them. So storms in our lives can have varying, you can have different types of storms. Storms of suffering, storms of affliction, storms of sorrow, storms of sin. And with these storms, it brings fear, it brings anxiety, it brings pain. But the beauty of it is that no storm on earth, there is no storm on earth that heaven cannot calm. There is no problem so great that Jesus cannot fix. Bring the storm to him. He'll take care of it. He will take care of it. The other characteristic of the storm is, what was the source? The scripture never really tells us what caused the storm. Now, the Sea of Galilee, it had storms. Storms were not uncommon for the Sea of Galilee, but this storm was at night. And that was uncommon. That was not a normal storm to come at night. But the scripture never says where the storm comes from. So, where could the storm have come from? Storms in our lives come from various sources, okay? They come from various sources. Sometimes storms seemingly come out of nowhere. Sometimes we are the source of our own storms. And sometimes we do cause these storms in our lives. Sometimes God sends storms. Why would God send storms? Sometimes he does it to discipline us, to draw us closer to him. With the case of David, he had sinned with Bathsheba. Sometimes he teaches us to trust him more deeply by bringing us storms. This is the case of Job. We all know the story of Job. When God sends storms, he sends them to draw us closer to him. Now, there's another entity, and his name is Satan. And Satan is real. And Satan will sometimes whip up storms in our lives. You see, because his purpose is to defeat you, to drive you away from God. He will do everything in his power to destroy you and your faith in God. We do have a real enemy who is seeking to defeat us. 1 Peter 5:8 reads this. Discipline yourselves, keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for something to devour. That's real. But you know what else is real? It doesn't matter. Because Satan's already defeated. Satan is already defeated. All we have to do is go to our Savior in these times of turmoil and trouble. And like I said, he will take care of it. He will take care of it. Now, what problems did the storm bring up? What problems did the storm bring up? You see, it brought up several problems in the disciples' minds. The first thing is, they began to doubt the goodness of Jesus. They doubted his goodness. They said, "Thou carest not." They actually told Jesus, "You don't care about us." They accused the Lord of not caring about what they're facing. But I just want you to know today that he does care. You see, in Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has tested us as we are yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." He is there for us. He is there for us. All we have to do is seek him, and he is there for us. They doubted his grace. They said, "We perish. We perish." With Jesus in the boat, they thought that they were going to perish. Remember, it was Jesus who told them to go to the other side. These are the same men that left everything to follow Jesus, and now they are concerned that he's not going to lead them out of this storm. Jesus did not save you to abandon you. Jesus did not save you to abandon you. Jesus did not die on the cross for each one of us to then leave us alone and abandoned. They doubted his guarantee. It was Christ who said, "Let us pass over to the other side." So Jesus already told the men what was going to happen, and yet they still doubted him. I'm just trying to picture this, you know. You've got Jesus. I can't keep getting over that. You've got Jesus in the boat. What are you worried about? What are you worried about? Now, do we ever doubt Jesus' guarantee? Do we ever doubt? I know I do. I know I do. I scuba dive, and I was scuba diving off the coast of Belize. And we had gone out, and it was pretty stormy seas, and the dive master asked if we still wanted to go out, and it was my only opportunity to dive Belize, so I said, "Let's go, let's do this." So we went out, and the sea swells were huge. I mean, the sea swells were probably a good 20-foot sea swells all around us. But we still found a spot where we could go down, and we dove at this spot. And for those of you who don't know, I'm kind of an adventurer, risk-taker kind of person. So while everybody else stayed up at the top, I immediately dove down to about 130, 140 feet. And when you dive down that deep, you use up your air a lot quicker. So, you know, I got to see cool things. I got to see moray eels and lots of cool things down there. But my time was pretty quick. I had to go to the dive master, got his attention, told him I needed to go back up. And I started heading up. So as I get up to the surface, the last gasp of air out of my tank. So my tank's empty, so I couldn't have timed it any better when I got to the top. And when I got to the top, these swells were all around me. Could see no land. And then also, couldn't see the boat. Now, I don't scare easily, but I've got to say, that moment that flashed before me was like, oh my goodness. Finally, after a minute or two, chugging around one of the swells, the boat came and they pulled me in. But I tell you that story because I doubted for a moment in that storm, just like the disciples did. So we all have our doubts. So now, what was the purpose of the storm? What was the purpose of the storm in Galilee? Well, now, there were several reasons, several purposes of this storm. They made discoveries about the power of the Lord Jesus. The power of the Lord Jesus. See, this storm terrified these men, posed no problem to the Lord Jesus. He rebuked the wind. Now, rebuke is not just like, I mean, that's just not like brushing something off the table. Rebuke is a powerful word. Rebuke is like Jesus said, stop, and it stopped. Okay? He rebuked the wind. If we believe that we might be in the midst of a storm that our Savior cannot handle, one have to look no further than in the Scriptures. Look at the stories of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace. In the furnace, Daniel in the lion's den. Those are pretty serious storms that those people in the Scripture found themselves in. But they were delivered. They were delivered. They made discovery about his promises. Just as he said, they passed over. In Mark 5:1, they learned that he was as good as his word. And he still is. Everything that he has promised, he will do. He will not back away from any promise that he has made in the Scripture. Those promises are real. Those promises, if you cannot count on anything else in this world, you can count on the fact that Jesus' word, what the Scripture tells us, that is a guarantee that we can count on. They made discoveries about his presence. You see, having Jesus in your vessel makes all the difference. They were able to call on him because he was with them. They were able to see him move in the power because he was with them. They were able to experience his peace because he was with them. So now the question that you need to ask yourself, do you ensure that Jesus is in your vessel? Do you ensure that he is in your vessel? Because if Jesus is not in your vessel, you have no hope. You have no hope. But with that Savior in the stern, resting his head on the pillow, if he is in your vessel, you have no fear. You have no fear. They made discoveries about his purposes. The storm taught these men a lesson that they could learn no other way. What about us? We have the Bible. It tells us things he has done and what he can do. We have the testimonies of others around us. We have seen what he has done for them. We have even seen what he's done in our lives. But even the disciples struggled with maintaining their trust in him. This is what this tells us. They struggled with maintaining their trust in him. Let us look later in Mark where they find themselves in the midst of a storm once again. This time without Jesus in sight. In Mark 6:48-15, it reads, "When he saw that they were straining at the oars against the adverse wind, he came towards them early in the morning, walking on the sea. He intended to pass them by. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, 'Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid.' Then he got into the boat, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded." So they still doubted him. And once again, he had to calm the storm for them. How real is that for all of us? How real is that for all of us? So, why do we have storms in our lives? You know, some of the strongest materials known to man are made by going through two processes called forged and tempered. Okay? So, has anybody ever heard of forged or tempered steel? Okay, I see all the guys nodding because you get a wrench or something like that. It says forged or tempered. Yeah, but what do those words mean? What do those procedures mean? Well, forged means to form a substance like metal by heating it in a forge and beating it or hammering it into shape to strengthen it. Tempered is to harden or strengthen metal or glass by the application of heat, by heating and then cooling. So what does this tell us? This tells us that in order to be strengthened, sometimes we have to go through being heated, being beaten, being shaped and beaten, and just going through this process. That's what the storms in our lives do. They strengthen us. We always need to remember that God's purpose is always, always, always to make us better. Always to make us better. He is our deliverer. He is our protector. He has, is, and always will be our master. All I can think of is the magnificent power in the three words that Jesus spoke on the Sea of Galilee. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. If there is a storm of suffering, he can ease your pain by saying, "Peace, be still." If there is a storm of sorrow, he can comfort your soul by saying, "Peace, be still." If it is a storm of sin, he can deliver you and set you free by saying, "Peace, be still." Do you need to hear Jesus say, peace be still? Do you need to hear Jesus say, peace be still to your storm? If you do, just bring it to him. Allow him to come aboard the vessel that is your life. Allow him to calm the raging seas of your life in this fallen world. Turn your life over to the risen Savior and allow him to speak the words, peace, be still. Let us pray.